Almighty and eternal Father, as we come again to thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, we pray that you will grant unto us the vision of victory, cause us to recognize thy purposes in the earth, thy identity of our opposition, cause us to think thy thoughts and to behold with the vision which you have given unto us with the sure word of faith the outcome of these things through which we pass. We pray, our Father, as we meditate upon these situations, that we shall keep informed with the continual light of prophecy, falling upon the events from day to day, and cause us to recognize that we are the people that should rejoice because you have given us so great a salvation, that we are the children of thy Spirit, begotten with eternal life. We are the children of thy physical planting in the earth as children of the Adamic race, that we are thy household, thy kingdom, thy kinsmen, and we are the very desire of thy own heart, that we are that for which you have promised you would give Africa and Asia and all the earth for our deliverance and for our development. We thank thee, our Father, for thy promises that you would give us the end of the earth for our possession, even the inheritance of the heathen for our inheritance. We pray, our Father, that as we survey the things through which we pass, that we shall catch the great triumphant vision of this hour and know that we have lived in one of the most eventful times, and before us is the horizon of a complete new age. We look forward to the great earth experience which is not too far removed, when the majesty of thy visible appearance shall be identified with the children of thy household, and we will say with all of intelligent awakened Christendom, as we lift up our eyes, Lord Jesus, come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves into thy hand as thy children, saying thy will be done, praying thy blessing to rest upon our meditation in thy name. Amen. Returning tonight in our discussion of the subject of the seed of the dragon, to a subject that's not fraught with fear, but one that demands a complete realization of the problems that affect our age. The scripture has not left us in darkness concerning the seed of the dragon. It has not left us without the ability to identify and to know who they are. And this message tonight is not designed to please anybody particularly at all. Especially are we not desiring to please our enemy. For the enemy of God's kingdom in the earth today is the seed of the satanic powers which are waging war against us. If we are to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we here find a key concerning the hour in which we live. In no way is the facts contained in this discussion one to cause us fear, but to bring us to a complete realization of what it is that's taking place. Here in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we read these words, that in the antediluvian periods of time, there was a great struggle in space. But we're told first that one of the great wonders of the heavens was the symbol of the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This is a part of the Revelation vision given to John when he was called into the dimension of timeless revelation, in which God said to John, come in hither. And though a door were opened in space, John walked into the dimension of spirit, and there traveled in the conscious knowledge of the Most High, backward and forward over the patterns and the courses of history. He saw, he visualized, he heard and experienced things which have not yet come to pass in his day, but which are coming to fulfillment in ours. Between that period and the period in which we live, many of these things have become apparent fulfilled prophecy. When we talk about the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, the word sun or illumination, clothed with glory, this is your race. This is the white race, the household of the Most High God. The reason why it said that upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. Each one of these, like she, are illuminated with light and glory. Each one of these are the symbols of one of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. The crown upon the head of the woman, your white Christian civilization, is the crown of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is not talking about the Jews. There is not a Jew in the world today that is a star in the crown of your race. There is not a Jew in the world today that belongs to the woman which God refers to as his bride and as the organic body through which his children are born into the world, and who, as they pass through the door of one of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel, make up the new order of the ages, the new Jerusalem, and the sovereign plan for God's kingdom. We point out to you that there stood a great dragon, a red dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his head were 7 crowns. His tail drew 1/3 of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman of your race, ready to devour her and her child as soon as it was born. This is a symbolic message. The woman is faced with the dragon. The dragon seeks to wage war against your race. It sought to swallow up the woman and her children and her child as soon as it was born. Now you are not left in this book of Revelation to guess about who this is or what this represents. You say, how could the dragon draw 1/3 of the stars of heaven? This is symbolic of the control of Lucifer, the archangel, over 1/3 of the Milky Way and the universe of which you were a part. And over these various planets and over these solar systems, he influenced the peoples that dwell upon it because he was an archangel and they were under his control. Therefore, when he rebelled, 1/3 of the forces of space rebelled with him and were defeated by Michael the archangel, and they were cast to the earth. These evil influences have dwelt upon and within the earth from that day to this. And that is one of the reasons why there is a raid against you, an unassimilatable and powerful evil force, and the scripture denotes this. You may say, well, how do we know who this dragon represents? Well, when we turn to the scripture, we read these words. And the great dragon was cast out of the heavens, because there was a war fought in heaven. And this is the 7th verse of the 12th chapter of Revelation. There was a war fought in heaven, and Michael and his angels, one of the great archangels before the throne of God, the commander of the legions of God, of the great spacecraft legions by 1,000 times 1,000 times 10,000 times 10,000, that staggering multi-million program of the ships of space are under the command of Michael. He is captain of the Lord's hosts. And Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels, but he prevailed not. Neither was there any place found for him in the heavens. And that great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent that you call the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So if you want to know who the dragon is Lucifer, once an archangel that became Satan and the devil. He was defeated. His angelic hosts were cast out with him, and great multitudes of the dwellers upon the planets that at that time were with Lucifer. That's why Zechariah tells you about how wickedness came to earth, and the flying rolls of Zechariah were the great spacecrafts in which these people came to earth. In ancient Sumerian dynasties that pre-existed before the Adamic race are records concerning this. And they tell you how among the great ships that came at that time, defeated by Michael the archangel, and the Sumerians called Lucifer the chaos monster, and they refer to the whores that were with him, and they said for the first time they beheld the black faces and the dark and curly heads. If you go back to the periods of ancient China and its writings, and the great writings that reach back to the motherlands of the Indus, and you'll discover they also talk about the coming of the black and curly heads. And of course, that fits in with anthropology. We have many volumes of anthropology which the last few years have brought out. Books like of our listeners, God, Man, and Magic, one of the greatest of modern anthropologists. We have Ivar Sanderson, whose concepts in many fields of science we disagree with, but who stands out as accurately reporting as to findings in the various fossil structures, the things which they have found. And Ivar Sanderson has to admit that there are 5 sub-races in the world, and he tells about their origin. One, the sub-races are sub-races as it relates to the white, western Western civilization of the white Christian man. And whether he knows it or not, in his book lately, as he writes about the five sub-races and the phenomena of strange monsters, including the abominable snowman and the strange creatures that have shown up in the woods of Northern California and found in various parts of the earth, he is then caught with the facts that are related to the Nephilim and the other simulatable monsters of ancient time. But in this, he has stated something that few men can gainsay, because he's one of the most important naturalists in the world today. And he said the Negro race is a sub-race. And its sudden injection into the things of Earth is one of the amazing factors of ancient archaeological research. So they were not born here. They came in the days of Lucifer's rebellion. They are not the children of Lucifer, but they are a race which he ruled over and which were a part of his combat legions and were defeated by Michael the Archangel, and they were cast to Earth. The peoples of ancient Asia, the peoples that lived in Earth in the periods long before this, whose empires, like the Sumerian Empire, reached from the steppes of Mongolia to the portions of southern Africa. The peoples of ancient Lemuria, long since plunged beneath the waters of the Atlantic, whose ancient civilization reached from the Incas and the High Andes to Easter Island and to the mainlands of China, of which there are still parts of high positions, lands and mountains sticking up out of the ocean, such as Japan and the ancient Sumare that reach back into the antiquities even before the fall of Lucifer and before the transplanting in the earth of the Negro race, which did not exist in earth before that time. What a strange place to put the children of God. But your father's plan reached out beyond this. Your father's plan would not permit, even in this earth where a defeated enemy had finally come with his legions and his fleets, where in that day God said to Michael the Archangel, don't you hail one railing accusation against Lucifer. You've defeated him. You've put him on the earth. We've got him earthbound. He can't leave it. Now he says, you step back and watch my plan. And you know what that plan was? That plan was for God to place his own celestial family of spiritual children in physical bodies in the earth to conquer the powers of darkness, to overthrow Lucifer, and eventually cast his power out of the earth as Michael cast it out of the heavens. That's your destiny. That involves a conflict in the earth constantly and continually with the forces of evil. And there is nothing more evil in the earth than the seed of the dragon. It's quite obvious that the dragon left his mark. He left his mark all over the physical world, whithersoever he stretched his power. And being among the first to fall under the influences of Lucifer, to adopt the unassimilatable and fallen angelic hosts, to make of them strange and grotesque gods, to see the violations of divine law as fallen angels mutated their species and mutated also the species of earth, intermingled with the peoples of earth, didn't keep their first estate, we're told in the book of Jude, and the results were strange monsters, evil and grotesque. That's why today in China and among the peoples of Asia are these strange, gargoyle-like, grotesque gods, evil byproducts of violations of divine law. We are to understand also that out of this mutation was a final attempt at sowing the offspring seed into every race. Now I want you to know that there are a people in the world today who are the final leveling out of the offspring of Lucifer. They are actually satanic seed. They exist among every race. They are black, they are yellow, they are brown, they are white, and they are in all instances the seed of Lucifer. They are the seed of the dragon. They are his descendants. They are his unassimilatable offspring. They seek to rule the world. They hold all the world but the white race in captivity, and they have penetrated in their warfare the great nations of the white race, where they wage warfare against you continually. Now the scripture tells us that this seed of the dragon has power over the peoples of earth outside of your race, and it swallows them up. One of the great symbols of the scripture of masses of peoples is water. Water is the symbol of masses of people. And the children of God are also symbolized as a stream of the water of life that comes out of the throne of God from heaven to earth. And therefore you are a heavenly stream, the race line of the waters of God's kingdom. But there is upon the earth the waters of earth. We find this referred to in Ezekiel, where in the 19th chapter, and or rather the 31st chapter, he talks about the waters of the races of Asia being so great that the Sumerian Empire reached out with its empire over almost all the earth because of the strength of its racial stream. We point out to you that the waters of earth are the peoples of Africa and of Asia. And we are told that the seed of the dragon swallowed up these waters until he encloses in his power all these races. And now he goes to make war against you. He sought to devour the man-child of the woman. The greatest man-child of your race was when God was born out of the body of your race, and the man Christ Jesus becomes identified with his kinsman while he's the fullness of God dwelling bodily. And the king of the Jews, Herod, with the power of Jewry, sought to destroy Christ at the hour of his birth, fulfilling the prophecy that the dragon stands before the woman to devour its child as soon as it was born. And the seed of the dragon go to make war against you. And suddenly the climactic picture in Revelation concerning this is that the dragon pours out of his mouth this water of the dragon like a flood to try to swallow you up. This water of the dragon are all the peoples under the dragon banner. Out of ancient Asia, we see multi-millions of people that are under the dragon program. They worship the doctrine of demons and devils. They are involved in pagan concepts and in pagan superstition. They fall readily for the politics of hell itself. They become enmeshed and embroiled in communism. They raise the hammer and the sickle, the symbol of satanic power in the earth, and then they wage war against you with a desire that they would destroy you and the kingdom of God from the face of the earth. And the scripture in Revelation tells us that it would pour out of its mouth in the 15th verse, and the dragon serpent casts out of its mouth this water as a flood to try to swallow you up. And the fact is that he would seek to carry you away with a flood. Now, the scripture tells us that to the woman of great civilization, the Israel people of God, the white race, there is given the two wings of a great eagle in this climactic time. The most powerful leadership in the end of the age. You say, when will this be? This will be at the period of time that you are living in, when the powers of the dragon and all the forces of evil go to make war against you. And they send forth their mongrel hordes, their races of the earth, in contest against God's kingdom and his children. They operate with all the politics of conspiracy. They operate with all the strategy of the beast system, and their political trap to try to swallow up the nations of God's kingdom is the United Nations, and the influence of the powers of the dragon to tie your hands so they can destroy you both politically as well as to destroy you in a military way. And we are told about two things. The very earth you live upon is going to aid your race. The very earth is going to open up her mouth. It's going to swallow the flood out of the dragon's mouth. Whole areas of the earth are going to know catastrophe and devastation. Whole masses of your enemies are going to be swept from the earth with earthquake and volcano and fire and storm. You may say, how do you know? Because God himself has assured this. And every word that comes out of the mouth of God is true. And the dragon is angry with you, and angry with all the white race. And it goes to make war with everybody that remains of her seed. And they have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who Israel is in the world today, they are Christian people. They are the people of the nations of God's kingdom. And the dragon goes to make war against every one of the true Israel people. It goes to destroy, to gobble up, and to wipe out. And we are told to make war with the remnant of her seed that have the commandment of God and the testimonies of Jesus Christ. Yes, this is the dragon seed. I want you to know that Asia itself is not dragon seed, but Asia is ruled by dragon seed. Its priesthoods and its evil temples are dragon seed. The most powerful evil force in Russia, in Asia today, is the ancient land of Russia, or Magog. This Asiatic Mongol Jew-controlled society is the enemy of Christianity all over the world. And so today, the most powerful of the nations of Asia is today Russia. And Russia admits, the Soviet Union admits, that they are an Asiatic power. And the demarcation line between Europe and Asia marks them as an Asiatic power. And the rulers of it are the seed of the dragon. I want you to know that here in the United States, we have an unassimilatable group of too many million seed of the dragon. The seed of the dragon are in your city. They're in your politics. The seed of the dragon are in Washington. They surround Mr. Kennedy with bad advice. And he picked 75 dragon seed to sit in the positions of power in the United States of America. You say, how do you know? Because I have just read to you a passage in which Jesus is unveiling to John the mystery and reveals that this fallen archangel, defeated in space, thrown out of the heavens to earth, that you call Satan and the devil, is the dragon. This is the great dragon, and his offspring are dragon seed. Now let's go to the words of Jesus to find the dragon seed, because this is the purpose of the identification which we have given you. And so Jesus says to the Jews that are standing before him, he said, therefore you do not understand my speech, because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer in the beginning, and he abode not in truth. And because there is no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And therefore, Jesus identified the Jews in Jerusalem as dragon seed. They were the children of the devil. Now I'm going into the book of Matthew to clinch this up while we're on this subject, because I think it's very important for you to understand it. Jesus had told a parable unto his disciples, and he told them about the struggle for the earth. The struggle for the earth tonight is divided between the kingdom of God and the political powers of Lucifer's kingdom. And in this instance, he also said that the field was the world, and that the sower in the field was the eternal God, and the seed that he sowed. I'm reading this out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And the seed which he sowed were the children of the kingdom. They were his seed sowed in the earth, which was already here. He sowed his children in the earth. They were the children of the evil of the kingdom. And the evil one sowed his seed. God calls them the tares, and they are the children of the wicked one. And then Jesus comes along to identify the Jews as the children of the wicked one, as the tares sowed in the field, as the great scourge and curse in the earth. Now, we're not under any bond to keep the truth hidden away, like the clergy are in some churches that can't preach it. We want you to know that the Jews are the seed of the evil one. And we want you to know that they are the offspring of Lucifer. And that's why there's black ones, red ones, yellow ones, because this mongrel seed has been sown into every race. And if you were to go down to Israel today, you'll discover that there is a little disharmony down there, because they have a racial clash down there, because even though they're their father the devil, each one of them wants to rule. And the most cunning and evil ones are the Canaanite seed from the seduction of Eve, which white seed or Jewish evil among the white Jews is the most cunning of all. Now we tell you that basically the Jews are Asiatic. Why? Because the majority seed is sowed in Asia. And out of it comes the unassimilatable Jew called the Ashkenazi in our land. The Ashkenazi, the round-headed, bullet-headed Jew, whose strange proboscis and high ears have been marked as the Maki, is known by all phrenologists everywhere as a strict species. The Ashkenazi is known as an Ashkenazi among other Jews. Jews refer to the Sephardic and refer to the Sephardic Jew as the descendant of a certain branch which the scripture identifies as the Canaanite. And Jesus identified these Canaanites, these Sephardic Jews, and said, ye are of your father the devil. And when he talked to them about their mass murders, he said they were guilty of the blood of all the righteous slain from Abel to Zacharias, killed between the horns of the altar. But the Ashkenazi Jew is an Asiatic offspring of Lucifer who moves against you, and it seems like this flood which is poured out to swallow you has been concentrating upon trying to swallow up the United States of America. Oh, you say, yes, but there's 180 million people here. 140 million of us are white and Christian. Surely all of the unassimilatable minorities, the Negroes, the Asiatics, and the unassimilatable Jews could never swallow this up. But they are the directors of the great flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth. When the dragon pours this flood out of his mouth, his domination of Africa and Asia, his political chicanery, now gathers up these hordes to try to swallow up your race, mongrelize your society, and overthrow you as a people. So the scriptures clearly mark. You go home and read the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. You read what is declared by Jesus in the 8th chapter of the book of John, and you will know that the children of Satan are the people we call Jews today. Under no stretch of the imagination do they belong to the house of Israel, or are they a part of God's kingdom. Now, therefore, if you want to be a realist, the enemy of Christian civilization and of America today is organized world Jewry. I want you also to know that whether politicians like it or not, you know, we've got a lot of sad sack politicians. These fellows call themselves statesmen. They're not statesmen. They've let the power and its control of jewels and gold, which is a Luciferian, strange, acquisitive power, and his children seem to possess it. They seem to be able to gather up gold and silver and jewels, and with it they try to buy the souls of men. Too unfortunately, instead of making our leadership strong, firm Christian men and women, those that are dedicated to God's kingdom, those that are dedicated to preserving our racial self-respect, those that are dedicated to holding the line of civilization, we find that we have left politics up to the children of Satan, and we permitted these children of the dragon to buy and sell statesmen whose souls are small and shriveled and elevated to power, become the instruments and the tools of Satan's own children. This is the great scourge of our time. And that's one of the reasons why God's promised a great awakening. And as that awakening comes, the people of this great nation, of God's kingdom, are going to throw out of power everyone influenced by Satan's hordes and put men and women with vision in positions of power, and the light shall shine and the kingdom of God shall be on the way to great power. There is no question about the fact that you have approached close to this hour. Now we are also told this about the seed of the dragon. The seed of the dragon intends to make war with us. The seed of the dragon has stolen our nuclear secrets. He's stolen also much of the wisdom that belongs to your race. He's holding captured German scientists, and at the price of their families and of their lives, he is extricating from them the technology to arm himself. The powers of darkness plan on devastating war against you. However, there is some things I want you to think about tonight. The first place, we are in a titanic struggle. Inside the United Nations last week and this week, serious struggles have been going on. We told you last Sunday night that as a nation of God's kingdom, you were to get out of the United Nations. God's warned you. He said, come out of her, my people. Ye must get out of the United Nations, because you were joined there with the satanic power, with the captives of the dragon, and behind it is the manipulation of the children of the dragon. Every branch of the United Nations is under Soviet control and Jewish leadership. I want you also to know this, that in the last few days, we've watched the struggle. Now we've listened to the President of the United States. I do not believe the President of the United States knows what he's doing or how to do it. I think that he talks a good fight, but he doesn't know how to win it. I think he's surrounded by devils, and their influence is not good for him. I think you better either pray the devils out or pray for leadership that will not be guided by them. Someone said, Dr. Swift, do you have any plans against the civil rights and the civil liberties of the Jews? My friends, in the kingdom that I am a part of and am a citizen of, and you have your citizenship, the Jews don't have any civil rights or liberties. So what do you mean? I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And this nation is one of the great nations of God's kingdom. And I hope the day will come by legislation in which this will be completely legislated, as it's been declared by the Supreme Court, a Christian nation. And when we talk about rights and privileges, they belong to the citizens who must be Christian in that day. I realize there are some who say this is not democratic. I'm not interested in democracy. I'm interested in theocracy. And this nation is a theocracy. We are one nation under God. I think, by the way, you ought to be informed that every Jewish agency, the ADL, the NYBRIT, and all of the pagan, communist, and Jewish agencies in America are now trying to carry an appeal to the Supreme Court to take In God We Trust off of our money, and to take out of our national Pledge of Allegiance, again, one nation under God, even though Congress put it in there. I think it's time we said away with these people and deported every enemy of God in our race from these United States. Someone said, Dr. Swift, maybe that's un-American. No, my friends, that's the most pro-American thing you can do. because this is God's country and we are God's people. Now someone said, well, how is this to be done? By legislation. We're going to legislate. I'm going to tell you what's going to do it. When the enemy attacks America, and that attack is just months away, maybe days. When the enemy attacks America, you're going to have to lock up the communists. And when you lock up communists, it's going to look like a Jewish ghetto. In fact, one of the major things they're going to cry out for before this is over is deport us. Send us out of here. Because they deserve it properly, voting in both Israel and America. They have dual allegiance. They play, they work, and they finance the intrigue of the world. I talked to a brainwashed clergyman of great responsibility but little knowledge the other day. That is real knowledge. And this man said, as he said, Dr. Swift, isn't the United Nations the world's last great hope? He said, don't you think that if we can't, with this great institution, accomplish the objectives of peace, we're never going to get anywhere? I said to this clergyman, how can you accomplish the objectives of peace when you don't have the morality to take stands on great principles and great issues because you're joined with the devil? As long as you're joined with the devil and you can't take stands on great principles but have to subordinate them to the power and the politics of appeasement, then you have no instrument to do anything good in the world, because you can't appease, join to the evil, and accomplish good. I want you to know that in this hour, it's most important for us to recognize that you can't be in this nation joined to good and evil at the same time and accomplish anything. And as God calls for you to accomplish the coming out of the United Nations, He calls for you to wake up concerning your enemy, and says in the last of Zechariah, the wrath's going to rise in your countenance, and you're going to talk about separating America from the evil that's within it, and the Canaanites are going to see what you mean, and they're going to leave America, and there's not going to be a Canaanite left in the house of God. I think it's most significant that when we talk about the Canaanites, we call your attention to that when God says Canaanite, He means white Jew. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus turned to the white Jews, the Jews who were Canaanites, and said that ye are guilty of the blood of everybody slain on the earth from Abel. So therefore, to be guilty of Abel, it had to come from Cain. And Cain was the son of the evil one, the progeny of the devil, dragon seed. Someone says, Dr. Smith, as a Christian minister, you've got to embrace all these people with love. I don't have to love the enemies of my God. I don't have to love the enemies of my race. Someone says, love your enemy. Jesus taught it. He was talking about the laws and the rules that govern the kingdom and the citizens of the kingdom. I'm not supposed to hate white men. White men are not supposed to hate me. I'm supposed to treat them as children of God who they are, even when they don't understand it. But that isn't the direction that God gives me concerning the seed of the dragon and their strategies. In the United Nations this past week, we have been battling, and our statesmen, brainwashed, Jewish influenced, have still been trying to hold out for some semblance of self-respect, some place where they could arbitrate with the devil, some place where they could make some kind of satisfactory giveaway and hope the giveaway isn't too much. If we were in position today and every statesman was a Christian under the leadership of God's kingdom, we wouldn't be hunting for a deal and we wouldn't give anything away. We're not trying to deal with the dragon seed any more than I'd try to deal with a bunch of locusts, grasshoppers, or aphids in the field. I'd just get me a foot gun and a spray program. And when I got through, there wouldn't be any aphids, any locusts, or any dragon seed. Someone says you haven't the right to talk this way. Yes, we have a right to talk this way because this is the plan of the kingdom. Plan of the kingdom. You see, there isn't anything that has life that you can destroy utterly. Only thing you do is remove your enemy. Now, the Soviet Union today has built up a terrific arsenal of weapons. But it has discovered that you have one too. It has the manpower of the hordes like a flood. But it wants to level them against you in a great attack with all the odds on their side. So one of the strategies of the enemy today is to bring about a massive disarmament program in which nuclear weapons and terrific weapons that would be in the hands of the white race would be utterly negated. And you don't have statesmanship that has sense enough to see this outside of your military leaders. At this very moment, the dragon not only intends to wage war against you, but he intends to blow you from the face of the earth. Now don't, when I say these things, think that we're trying to intimidate you. We're not. Because I know who's going to be blown off the face of the earth, and it's not going to be the kingdom of God. But I tell you tonight, that's their plan for you. If you doubt it, Mr. Khrushchev has backed it up himself. Mr. Khrushchev has promised it. Mr. Gromyko has promised it. All this week, wishy-washy, wrong again, right again, wrong again, Rusk has been trying to talk to Mr. Gromyko. I don't know what he could say and really hold firm on. I don't know if he's got the courage to stand. I know that he's been given some directions. Mr. Kennedy doesn't want to lose face. He doesn't want the Irish dynasty of the Kennedys to be swept out of office on the first term. He knows that if he lets America down, or the white race down, that he'll be swept out of office or God's going to sweep him out of the world. So now he says, tell them we're not going to back down on Berlin. If there's a little deal we can make, we'll make a little deal. We'll make a little concession. But my friends, God says no deal, no concession, judgment. Now listen, you say we have a kind and loving God. We do, and he loves you most of all. We got a kind and loving God. If he didn't love his own family first, he wouldn't have the same power of life that you have that causes you to love those that are of your household and of your race. But God's great creative love reaches out to the end of the universe. But there's a lot of people that are better today out of the world than in it when they're joined with evil and they're not doing their eternal souls any good and they lack the spiritual capacities of guidance. And God said if they march with the Antichrist, if they rule their hour with the beast, then they've got to be swept from the face of the earth. Now that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, because if you never sweep the earth clean, you're never going to get a peaceful world. The kingdom of God is in opposition to the kingdom of the dragon. The kingdom of God will bring peace to the earth. The kingdom of God will bring righteousness to the earth. The kingdom of God has the authority and the power to accomplish this. And until the enemy is conquered, this will not take place. Now I'm going to give you two quick pictures of theology. Among that great institution known as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have it divided into many denominations. Among two-thirds of the sects of Christians today, they have a terrible picture just ahead of them. They see all evil conquering the world, and God has to take his children away before they're swallowed up. That's their vision. That's all the vision they've got. And so they can't do very much for the earth because they haven't got any vision about how to go about doing it. They see a picture in which the enemy wins, in which the tribulation descends, and Russia bombs the cities of America, bombs the cities of Europe, wipes out the white race, and takes over. That's their picture. Now, it does tell us about great tribulation. You've been living in a great tribulation, in a battle against the powers of darkness, and half of the nations of white Europe tonight are in bondage in the hands of the Antichrist. And many Christians have been murdered, liquidated, and shot. Today, communist Cuba is dominated by a maniac who's guided and influenced by dragon Jews. He has been murdering and executing and promises that he's going to execute 1,000 more. It's murder, it's martyrdom, it's bloodshed. Don't talk to me about the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is here. You say, why have we been spared so much? Because God is delighted to bless you. He puts you in a land of your own where you've been dwelling. You haven't been surrounded and outnumbered by the enemy. You better keep the enemy out, or he'll soon outnumber you if you lower your immigration bars or let any world organization of the Antichrist lower it for you. But God's got something better for you. He plans you're going to rise. You're going to overthrow the flood. You're going to be victorious. So in this instance, we look out at the Machiavellian plan of Moscow. It's making the weapons. It has the instruments to wage war against you. I turn to the scripture. We read one this afternoon to you that comes out of the book of the 25th chapter of Isaiah. And this is where God tells you that I'm on your side. And he says, therefore, this Isaiah can say, oh Yahweh our God, I'm going to praise you. Because this is what you promised to do. You promised to make the cities of the enemies and the city of evil a heap, just a pile of ashes. He says, Father, you promised to make the defense and armored cities of our enemies just ruins. Father, you promised that you're going to take the palace of strangers and destroy the whole United Nations building and everything connected with it. He says, more than that, they'll never be able to build it again. You promised, Father, that all of the strong people shall glorify thee, and the cities of terrible nations of evil, they, all of them, are going to fear thee. But I want you to go back to this passage. When it comes the hour of the great storm, the mighty battles that are just weeks from you, maybe even days, the shadow of that great cloud that rises in the sky, he said, I'll protect you from that shadow, and I'll protect you from the heat. I'll protect you when the blast comes from the evil forces of the Soviet and from Moscow as a storm that beats against the wall of my kingdom. And I shall bring down this noise of the strangers. No more of this crying, oi, oi, oi. None of this noisome stranger in our midst. None of this curse in our society. None of this whining, pleading, double cross. For there shall no longer be even your midst the noise of the stranger. And I'm going to protect you from the heat, which is like the heat in a dry place. Even the heat that comes out of the shadow of that nuclear cloud. For I shall cause this my strength in the nations of my kingdom, my branch. And you can turn over to Zechariah, and this great branch of God's kingdom is the house of Joseph. It's the United States, the British Empire, and the house of Judah joined to them, the Germanic peoples. This is my branch, and I'm going to take this great and powerful new welded branch of the kingdom. And God makes his declaration, and he said, I'm going to take it, and I am going to bring low these terrible ones. And my great kingdom, my holy mountain, shall I bless, and I will destroy in this mountain the things which are evil, even fear and the power of death. I want to turn tonight to an interesting evaluation. I think it's time that while they're trying to frighten us into pacifism, the Quakers are doing it, some of the silly Methodists are doing it, and others trying to tell us the same thing they have been trying to tell England. You know, sometimes we quote the devil too much. The devil starts something and people quote it until it becomes a fetish and a word. And they try to rationalize their evil and their treason. The greatest and most devastating evil that a child of God that should possess faith can possess is cowardice. If there's anything I loathe in the world, it's a coward. Now I want you to know that we have some of them. We have them in high places. They spread their coward's venom. It's absorbed by the uninformed. It covers faith. And this venom of the coward is repeating all over England these words, better red than dead, better red than dead. But let me tell you, if I didn't know the power of God, I would still say, better dead than red, any time. I want you to know that this evil cowardice is being repeated in Methodist pulpits, in Quaker pulpits. Better red than dead, than better godless with the devil and live, than to take a stand like martyrs and die. That's what they're saying, but their feeble minds haven't figured it out yet. Let me tell you this. The enemy threatens us. And they tell us that they're going to wipe us out with nuclear bombs and nuclear weapons. I have already introduced to you evidence that God's promised to intervene, and there are forces that will protect you. But how about the brains and ingenuity he's given your race? You've been spending billions on the army. What do you think you got right now? Well, I'll tell you something that Mr. Khrushchev has to think about, whether he likes it or not. And last week, United States News gave you an evaluation of something interesting. The United States has today 35,000 to 40,000 atomic bombs and warheads in our nuclear stockpile. We have 1,700 B-47s, B-52s, and B-58s in our Strategic Air Command ready to carry also nuclear heads. We have 2,000 fighter bombers of our Air Force, and many of them are right on the Soviet border. We have 1,500 Navy carrier planes, including heavy attack bombers. We have 90 Thor and Jupiter missiles on bases now in Europe. We have 80 Polaris missiles aboard submarines at sea. We have 37 Atlas missiles in places on U.S. bases. We have 200 Hound Dog missiles, which arm the SAC bombers. We have 300 Meuse and Matador missiles on the Red Frontiers. We have 50 of the Regulus missiles, which were aboard ships in the Pacific. In the first 24 hours of an all-out war, the United States could pull the trigger on 16 billion tons of equivalent power of TNT. That, my friends, adds up to the fact that at this very moment, in face of all of the hordes of the enemy, you're the mightiest power on the face of the earth. Now, listen. I'm going to turn over and record this to you. If the United States struck home with the first wave at this time, 80 to 90% of Russia's 2 million people would die. All major cities of Russia would be devastated. 85% of Soviet industry would be wiped out. Areas would be overkilled with too much power. And the chances are that 90% of all Russia would be affected. If the United States used only one-third of its present power, 75 million Russians would die. Most major cities and all of its industry would be destroyed. And it would be months before epidemics of starvation and the threat of the long-range fallout would end for our enemies. Now, does that mean that you should start cowering? You should start begging? You should start pleading? I want you to know that this is another important wave. I'm just evaluating this fast and not trying to consolidate it. This is just the facts in United States news. You know, I have to be careful. The last time I read a report like this of strategic strength and talked about something we had, the federal FBI came by to see where I got the secrets. They thought that we had tapped the Pentagon and talked to somebody in secret places and that we were quoting them and that we were giving away the secret. Well, my friend, if it's in the United States news, all they better do is read and stop trying to find out what patriots are thinking about. If they want to do something good, they better keep their eyes on the enemy and let the patriots alone. We are glad there's an FBI. We believe it can do a great job. We believe if you got a good administration, it'll do a good job. And if you got a bad administration, it'll do an evil one. We believe it's an ogpu, a necessary one, but that's what we believe it is. Someone says, you shouldn't talk like that. There's one of them seated right here. I don't think we ever make a talk that there isn't somebody here waiting to take the record back to see whether or not we overstepped ourselves. But let me tell you something. We can proclaim the truth, thus saith the Lord, and there isn't anybody got any power in these United States to stop us. In the first wave against the seed of the dragon, in the first wave against the military powers of world communism, and against Russia, the United States would strike from every corner of the world. From 80 bases that the United States has overseas, we would hurl 1,700 bombers with H-bombs and hound dog missiles in the very first blow. From dozens of bases on the Russian border, more than one-third of our Air Force's fighter bombers with nuclear payloads are already there. From England and Italy, 90 Thor and Jupiter missiles would destroy the major cities of Russia. From Navy carriers at sea, half of the fleet's 1,500 attack planes, including heavy attack bombers carrying atomic bombs, would strike at the heart of Russia. And under the sea, three of the Navy's five Polaris submarines with a total of 48 city-busting missiles are on duty every hour. 39 continent-spanning Atlas missiles would spearhead from four bases all of the most important targets of the Soviet Union. From other bases and ships, Matadors, Maces, and Regulus nuclear missiles by the score would be able to reach across Soviet borders. And in the second wave, we would wipe Russia from the earth. Someone says, what do you think we ought to do? I think we ought to give Russia one quick ultimatum. I think we ought to tell them tomorrow morning, get out of the UN with all of your red organizations and start getting out of every Christian country. Stop threatening us. Stop telling us how to run the world. Get out and leave us alone. We're going to arrest your communists. We're going to pick up the dragon seed that spearheads it in our own nation. We're going to deport them. If they try any violence, we're going to execute them. And if you make one overt move, we're going to blast you from the earth. And if they don't get out, we should push the lever countdown tomorrow morning. Someone said, Dr. Swift, that's not Christian. It isn't Christian. Let me tell you something. God Almighty came to earth one day and dwelt in the body of a man called Jesus. He was my relative and yours. He had more wisdom than anybody on the face of the earth because all the brains of God were in his head. Because this was the fullness of divine power dwelling bodily. Because this was the personification of love. And that love sometimes chastises, sometimes punishes, sometimes remolds for good. But he knew that the one race with the power to do the things which he ordained in earth was your race, a master race of spiritual children in physical bodies. He knew their redemption and their salvation was the empowering of the earth. And I'm going to tell you that with all that love and all that grace, God knows that it is better for him to strike in the earth and remove from the earth the evil powers and the forces that dominate Africa and Asia and destroy their war-making power that takes peace from the earth. It's better to destroy it than to let it live and work its evil in every generation. And you know that that gracious God, that majestic Christ, that one who's the personification of every Christian principle that we understand, at the head of the greatest and most mighty space fleet of all time, is going to come sweeping right back into the physical world. Oh, someone say he's going to come back like he went. He went away in a cloud. No, he went away in a vessel that was in the cloud. But when he comes back with the same kind of vessel as he left in, that the two men stepped out of in that cloud and talked to the disciples on the hill, when he comes back, he's not coming alone. He's not going to come the same exact way he left. He's going to use the same vehicles of transportation, but he's going to come back with every man of your race that ever lived. He's going to come back with the armies of heaven. And you know, he's not squeamish. He says, "Where's my military sickle? We'll take that hammer and sickle and break it. Because the blood of the enemies of my kingdom are going to flow to the depth of the horse's bit." That's Christ, gentle, the fullness of God's grace. It is his grace to remove this evil from the world. Now don't go squeamish on me. Someone said a Christian shouldn't talk this way. The best thing a Christian to do is follow Jesus. I don't want to miss one moment of the victory of God's kingdom. You know, we have a lot of squeamish people. They didn't want savage beasts shot because they had developed some wild beast humane society. They probably don't want us to spray our fields for aphids because it's inhuman to some form of life. If you want to carry it far enough, you wouldn't wage war against bacteria because you're denying life a chance to destroy your bodies. Now let me tell you something. You can wage war against evil anywhere, sickness and disease and evil power. And when it comes to the enemies of God's kingdom and dragon seed, I have no more compassion in my heart for dragon seed than I had for a virus. I want you to know this, that we have nothing against the spirits that dwell in the bodies of our enemies. But we know that they are influenced unassimilatably in our society by the evil that begat them. And only a restoring power in another plane and dimension at the hand of God can ever make them useful anywhere. Therefore, dragon seed plans to come against us. And they're trying to teach me to quiver, to tremble. And I will not tremble. For I know that God's given us already enough knowledge to blast them off the earth. I will not tremble. You know the greatest danger that you can get into in this struggle with the dragon seed is to permit yourself to surrender. Last week you created a disarmament agency. This is the most despicable thing that your nation ever was trapped into doing. A program to disarm God's kingdom in a day when God says to beat your plowshares back into swords. And they say disarm. It just goes to prove the Kennedys aren't led by God, they're led by the devil. Someone said, shouldn't talk that way about the president. Well, the president's a prisoner. Maybe we can set him free. If we can't set him free, let's find a man to lead us. You know, we are having a tremendous attack against some great Christian leadership in our nation. Now, this week's last week's U.S. News, this past week, the still current topic, there's a great article how the Pentagon and the Army stirred up over General Walker's situation. Every man in the Army overseas is angry, and they want to know why they should be left over there to fight communism when one of their great fighting generals is removed from his command because he told them and taught them about the dangers of communism. I tell you, I am wary that Jewish power in the Pentagon and in the administration is injuring America's prestige and its firmness and the morale of its armies. I don't trust any Jew, whether he wears the uniform of the United States Army or whether he wears the skullcap of Satan in the synagogue of hell. And I trust least of all a general who was a Jew, who would put a skullcap on his head and lead in a Jewish service anywhere. And I want you to know that we had one general that came into captured Berlin, and he read the first Jew service in a Jew synagogue, and I wouldn't trust him then, or I wouldn't trust him in Germany today. All I pray is that Christian society shall wake up concerning dragon seed. The Chinese are captured by it. The Africans are captured by it. And a great number of people are captured by its evil gold and money system in America. But the dragon seed is your enemy. Never forget it. Never let anyone tell you that this is not so. You know, they're trying to wage war against patriots and against Christians. The Jews even have influence over J. Edgar Hoover, you know. He couldn't even publish his book until he wrote a chapter that he must know is a lie about the Anti-Defamation League of the Nye Brit. And anybody that opposes the Jews is working for the communists. He knows that's a lie. I tell you more than this. He wants to warn everybody that you can be over anti-communist, and by identifying these peoples as communists, you serve the communist program. Why is he saying that? Why is he slapping at the John Birch Society? Why does he slap at patriotic organizations? Did you know that in one period of 35 years, the most 100% white Christian organizations in America have been downgraded and some even listed as subversive by the enemy? Let me tell you this. The day is going to come when America is not only going to be back in the hands of white Christian majorities in every department of its life, but the great white thronged multitude shall march from one end of this nation to the other. It's going to be a great army of the saints of the Most High God, the believing offspring, a white robed company. And they won't have to be hooded, because there isn't anybody that's going to stand up in their way. I'm going to tell you this tonight. The dragon plans on swallowing you up. God said, we're going to burn him out. We're going to swallow him up. He's going to be no more. I turn then back to Isaiah. For in that hour, God said, then we shall bring down the noise of these strangers. They're making a noise in your parent teachers association. They're making a noise in your city council. In fact, you got one of them on it. They're making a noise in every program. They're trying to tear apart your city and rebuild it for their own use. They're behind metro government. They're behind urban renewal. They're behind the socialization of your society. They're behind the poisoning of your water while they drink pure spring water. They're behind everything evil in America. They have upset the economy of the world, and they have created the economic crisis of the earth. This is the work that God said is mystery Babylon, and it's going to fall in 1 hour, and that can't happen too quickly for every alert child of God. I want to tell you this. The only congressman outside of men like Congressman Haston that wasn't even there that day because he was so busy on things. The only congressman that voted right in California and voted against the disarmament bill that would turn your nation over to in the matters of armament and defense to this international disarmament program, the only ones that voted right in this country were Lipscomb and Rosalot, Shepard, Ott, Wilson, and of course Congressman Heaster was on the right side, but he wasn't there. But remember that we have a list here of all the men that voted yes. I think it should be a typewritten list. I think it's the Christian responsibility of every intelligent white man to see that no man that voted the power of arms in your nation out of the hands of the Congress and the people should ever be returned to office. So I said, Dr. Swift, what's happening in California politics? Well, there's been something going on in California politics a long time. I remember when Dick Nixon came home from the service and ran for the Congress of the United States. I remember how he was anti-communist in his protestations. I remember how he took his place on the Un-American Activities Committee and rode to great fame and great full Americanism on the skirts of Congressman Rankin. And I was 40. And I helped to elect him to the Senate, so did some of you. But I saw an evil influence. They knew they had a powerful man. If they couldn't lick him, they said, we'll join him. And the first thing I know, a Jew named Maury Schottner is on the campaign committee of Mr. Nixon. He wasn't worth much after that, by the way. They gave a little six-pointed star to hang around his neck, and the Nigrit was taking him over with praise. And then for this citizen would say very little about anybody that the Jews said leave alone. In Washington, for a little while, we could get to Mr. Nixon. Then suddenly, when Mr. Nixon became vice president, we couldn't reach him at all anymore. He forgot the people that he wrote personal letters to when he wanted their assistance. Now, he told friends of mine, I still want to destroy communism. If I ever get in power, I'm going to deliver this lick. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And my friends, he still took the advice and continued to take it. Now, it's true that I don't believe that he would have been as bad as Mr. Kennedy. I don't think it's hardly possible. I think also that we're in a great and dangerous period. The Republican Party is told that Mr. Nixon has been its title or leader, but he renounced that because he was ill-advised the other day. His title leadership now will fall into an open field. He said he's not in the market for the nomination for 1964. Of course, I don't really believe him, but that's what he said. I want you to know then that he said that that should delight the heart of Mr. Rockefeller and also Barry Goldwater. I want to go on record as saying this tonight. Half a dragon seed is just 50% too wrong to ever lead America. Barry Goldwater is half dragon seed. Let it never lead a great nation of God's kingdom. May our ego never have a president who's half devil. Someone said he's on the right side of everything. He's only on the right side of things that will capture your imagination, but he's a Zionist. He's a metro government man. He supports whole projects that are disastrous. He's a Jew. Don't forget it. Half Jew is all Jew in this book. I'll tell you what God said. He said, if one-tenth of your blood belongs to the Jews, you can never lead God's kingdom. If one-tenth of your blood is outside of the seed of the white race and the chosen seed of the Most High God, which is that white race in purity, you can never become a part of that kingdom. That means if 1,064 of your blood... I'm going to say this. Rockefeller does not stand for the things most of us stand for. But Barry Goldwater, who's denounced him, was willing to be a running mate with him. He was pushing Dick Nixon into accepting the run for nomination and said that this would be tantamount to election and he would be the most powerful Republican in the United States. The powers behind the scenes have never forgotten, nor have they ever designed to elevate any man of your race. When they're through with them, they destroy them. I think that Dick Nixon is destroying himself his very last 2 weeks when he threw his hat into the primary for the governor's race in California. You say, why is that? First, because I don't trust the fellows that surround him or run his campaigns. I believe they offered ex-governor Knight, I believe they offered him the judgeship because the rumor was all over. I believe there's men on his bandwagon that would deal with the high offices of our state. I don't think Goody Knight's foolish enough to say they offered me this if they didn't and he couldn't prove it. Basically, I want you to know that this fight among these people is only going to crystallize great issues. I tell you this because the battle of Dragon Seed goes on in your state as well. To show you its influence, I heard, and so did you. If you were listening on television or the radio, we heard Mr. Nixon say, I don't want the support of any organization or any man that believes in the principles of the John Birch Society. Now, I want to tell you something. The dragon seed are smearing the John Birch Society like the dragon seed smeared the Ku Klux Klan and smeared the Christian nationalists and smeared the patriots of America. And what we were getting 15 years ago, the John Birch Society is getting today. Now, remember that. Now, remember this. Every American that's worth his salt, and ye are the salt of the earth. And there'll be no savoring of the earth without the salt of the earth, as Jesus said. Every individual worth his salt would not elect or vote for any individual that didn't want the support of an awakening Christian American society. Governor Brown, not to be outdone by Tricky Nicky, came on the radio, and this is what he said. He said, I don't want the support of any organization which is a conspiracy. He said, the John Birch Society is a conspiracy. And he said, it works on the big lie. You know what the Jews and the devil tries to say? Anytime you tell the truth about their operations, they try to tell you it's the big lie. But my friends, this is the big truth, not the big lie. I'm going to tell you this. I don't like a governor that's half dragon seed. And Governor Brown is half dragon seed. We got an attorney general, dragon seed. Someone says, you can't talk that way. Oh, yes, I can. I can quote Jesus anytime. Now, I haven't heard Governor Brown attacking the Communist Party nearly as forcibly and call it a conspiracy. I haven't heard him attack the control of evil that dominates the working masses of California and call them a conspiracy. I haven't even heard him call Harry Bridges or any of this gang a conspiracy to tie up your docks and your shipping. He turns to patriots and calls them a conspiracy. All right. Someone says, how do you analyze this situation? I think it's the best thing that ever happened to Colonel Gale's campaign. I think that America must wake up at every level, and one of the greatest responsibilities we have today is to put every Christian to working in his own behalf for the establishment of God's kingdom. That means we've got to take over in the offices of governor, and we've got to take over from the president and his cabinet on down, and we've got to work at it, plan at it, think at it, and make this a major project for every Christian American. I think it's time we all had a gentleman's agreement that we'll never vote, nor buy, nor trade, nor deal with dragon seed. I talked to a commentator who mentioned the fact that he was called in by a California station and told that they put him off the station if he announced or gave any publicity to the campaign of Colonel Gale for the primary for governor. That he could talk about Nixon, that he could announce Christopher, he could announce Knight or Nixon, but he was not to mention Gale. They didn't want the country to hear about him. They didn't want it to know about him or his platform. And this made the commentator angry, and he's on XERB, the same station we're on, and he says, now, a San Diego station hasn't anything to say about what I say down there, and I'm going to tell all California that I can reach about Gale and what he stands for. We're kind of proud of the fact that he belongs to this congregation because we know he's a man. And I think it's time that we started to back men who we believe in. And we pray and work with binding power. And we see the beginning of this struggle on our level against dragon seed. Now listen. We heard another report tonight that these tapes, which are going out all over the nation, that they're being played among important circles inside of the state of Texas. They were played to important officials, officials that are significantly interested in Texas's future. You know what the leaders of Texas would like to do? They'd like to draft General Walker to run for governor in the state of Texas. Now, I can see a new day in America if we had men like Gale in California and Walker in Texas and men like Dale Alford in the state of Arkansas. If these kind of men were in power, I'm going to tell you there'd be a new history written in the United States within the first few months of their administration. Say dreams? No, my friends, vision. There's a difference between dreams and vision. Vision is something you can do when you put your hand to accomplish it. Listen, my friends. And I saw the water come out of the dragon's mouth like a flood. And I saw the judgments of God swallowing up the flood. And I saw the judgments fall upon the dragon seas. And I saw and heard the word salvation unto the children of our God. It's a new day. I want you to know this. I don't want you going out of here worrying about the terror that flies by night. Read again the 91st Psalm. It's a good thing to read every day. Read the 91st Psalm. I want you to know that the story I read in here is awakening, overthrow of evil, cleansing of this nation, the leadership of all nations in God's kingdom, standing on their feet, a military crushing blow against the enemies of freedom, and everybody, willfully or in ignorance, is going to be freed from one end of the earth to the other, and the glory of our God is going to cover the earth like the waters that cover the sea. I wouldn't surrender living in this period for any time in human history. I'm thrilled by what's going on the perimeters of space, in the fields of great new wisdom, in the promises of my Father, in the knowledge that we're on the edge of great immortality. And so we say, thy will be done. But know this, know who dragon seed are, and tell it. For the day shall come when there'll be no dragon seed in this Christian nation. One of the most evil things dragon seed does is try to poison one white Christian against another. We've got another filthy, evil propaganda film which is just coming out again. It's called the Judgment at Nuremberg. And this trial in number is another one of these propaganda programs. Let me tell you something. On television, on radio, in magazines, in scripts, the enemy today is trying to turn every Anglo-Saxon against every German. He's trying to turn the Scandinavians against Germany or against Holland or against someone else. Everywhere the devil is trying to stir everybody up. He's getting ready to pounce on Egypt. He's getting ready to destroy Arab nations. He's set up the turbulence in the Middle East. And I'm going to tell you that it's worsening tomorrow. And it increases that way. This is what we told you a month ago. We said that as you approached the 21st of October, that trouble was going to break out in the Middle East, remember? We said that was going to be the next frontier of uneasy action. We could tell you the measures of its cycle. We tell you tonight that the world is in a cauldron, and it's in a crucible, but the kingdom of God is made of enduring substance. So don't fear. Just strike at the enemy for the victory of God's kingdom. We'll be speaking next Friday night on the blueprint of these fast-developing world events in the light of biblical prophecy. Now, this is what we want you to do. We want you to bring someone out in this crucial hour and tell them they'll hear things about the world circumstance that they cannot get anywhere else. For we are delivering to you facts built on information, on sources of information, and on spiritual guidance that can be put together only when you have the facts. And I don't know where else you can get the facts that you can get here in Thus Saith the Lord. This isn't an egotistical evaluation. This is just a knowledge of the sources, and it's a realization of the capacity which God gives us in the Spirit to properly analyze them. So let's see this place filled next Friday night in the auditorium downstairs as we speak on these situations. We're going to talk to you about the greatest power in all the world, hidden as a deep treasure, which God knows where it is, and He wants you to know where it is. We're going to talk to you next Sunday afternoon about the power within. There is no greater power. There is no greater mastery. Now listen. If ever there was a time for the children of God's kingdom to know the strategies of God, it's now. So I'm speaking next Sunday night on the subject of God's strategy for global victory. That's our subject next Sunday evening. God's strategy for global victory. So we take your offering tonight. I want to impress upon you tonight of our need this week. We have a need to meet the expense of over $200 worth of tape alone that must go out with this message. That's apart from our budget and from our normal budget. Now, if you've got tithes or offerings, if you've got $100 of God's money or a tithe, you can't make a better investment than to give God his own money to carry out his own program for your benefit. We urge you tonight, whether you've got $100 or $50 or $10, will you do something extra this week? Will you help us in this hour to meet this call of people who are calling from all over the nation? Can you send us tapes? Can you tie us into the message? Can we find out what these truths and what these truths concerning us consist of? And this is what we're finding out. We're finding out that the majority of all who hear join with us and are added to this fellowship of truth. So this is your missionary vision. I've watched people sacrifice for missionary vision, and so have you. You've watched Christians sacrifice to do something in Africa and something in Asia, and they're watching it all crumble. Let me tell you something. You never make a sacrifice in investing in the great mission to the children of God and lose anything, because it's triumphantly victorious. This is God's hour to awaken this nation in one day, and that's exactly what God's doing. We urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us do this. We want you to invest in what God's promised to bless you with. Let me tell you, if you're worried about economic balance, God has a covenant with you that he will increase your wealth, he'll increase your security, he'll increase your blessings, he'll see that you have no great need, and that he'll carry you through this hour if you'll enter into an economic agreement with God, with tithes and with offerings to support the work of his kingdom. We urge you to do that. Try God. See if you give your tithes, if he won't promise to bless and supply to you. Someone says, it embarrasses me, Dr. Swift, when you put pressure on for money. I'm not a bit embarrassed right now about getting all the money we can get to spread this message across this nation, because we've been paying over half of this tape bill ourselves. We want you to help us carry it, because it's a load we can't keep up much longer at that rate. We need your tithes, your offerings, your assistance, and we urge you to do that. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we invoke your blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the gospel of thy kingdom, the work of thy church. Supply the needs and the prosperity of thy people in thy name. We make this announcement. We urge all the people who are tape listeners to help pick up this burden and to spread this tape ministry, even as they are within the scope of this ministry themselves. And so those that are listeners to this message on tape tonight, we urge you to assist in carrying out this program. We ask you to address your offerings to Post Office Box 911, Lancaster, California. This is essential so that people know everywhere where they can send in their offering to help support the carrying out of this activity. And then we urge you, pray, work, and tell it. You are backed by the strongest authority that man can hold for the truths we are proclaiming. It is thus saith the Lord, and he seals it with his own word. And his spirit bears witness with your spirit, because you are a child of God, that these things are true. This is why we find ministers that don't know and don't understand. But when they hear these truths and they start to search the scripture, they come back to say, we didn't know it. This has opened up a whole vista of knowledge for us. You say, why is this? Because God's Spirit is raising up his ministers to proclaim this truth for the enlightenment of his people for this day. He said in this last days, knowledge would increase. And spiritual knowledge is one of the most important things that you can possess. That's one of the reasons why we are very proud of Christian leadership. And we're proud to have a man like Colonel Gale in our congregation, because wherever he goes, he's lifting up this book. He's saying, thus saith the Lord. And he takes his consecration and ordination to this truth seriously, even in his political life. So again, we say, pray and work. This is your challenge for a better California and for a great expanse in God's kingdom. Shall we stand? Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest in benediction upon these thy children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.